Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to multifamily industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show with two special guests who are extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing something that is important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is inflation, infrastructure, capital markets, and the impending multifamily value crisis. I have joining me by phone a longtime multifamily industry veteran and a sought-after speaker, multifamily industry educator and consultant, Rich George, the COO of NOI Coach and the owner of Blue Door Apartments. And also with me in the studio is Taylor Leach, president and co-founder of eConserve Multifamily Water Conservation Solutions. Welcome, gentlemen.
Nice to be here, Paul. It's always nice to spend some time with you.
Good. You know, I thought this would be an important topic to discuss, but it really kind of stemmed from a conversation the three of us were having last week in Chicago at the NAA's Apartmentalize conference. And first of all, let's just kind of touch on that. I mean, Rich, you've been to many of those conferences. What did you see, obviously, in the middle of or the ending or whatever we are in as far as a pandemic? What was your impressions?
I love how you phrase that, Paul. You know, in the middle of, or aren't we at the end? Who knows? Because it changes every day, right? But you know, that's a conference that it's near and dear to my heart. I've gone for the last little over 20 years, and I've spoken at that conference for 15 of those 20 years. So I've watched that conference grow from being a conference of about 3,000 to 5,000 people, upwards to 15,000 people just before the pandemic, and now. It's a much smaller conference, but a lot of people were saying, oh, it's not as fun without as many people, but it's not about fun. It's about really the connections that you make. And I believe that the conference this year was just outstanding. The education was outstanding, but the ability to connect with people was great. And leading to, the impetus of this conversation of you and I and Taylor at a social event, getting probably way too deep into a conversation. At least that's what my wife thought, who was sitting there. but she was enjoying some cocktails, compliments of you guys. So thank you.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about the topic, Rich. I mean, you're an expert on this. Inflation, infrastructure, capital markets, and the impending multifamily crisis. It sounds very daunting, but in reality, I think there's some things we need to be looking out for.
It is quite a word salad, isn't it? You've had to say it a couple of times now, Paul. I know that I know a lot of your listeners are like, you know, that's very high-level thoughts. But what we're going to talk about today, because, you know, you and I and Taylor, that conversation we started, it really was about the nuts and bolts of what it is that we do and how this is going to impact us. And, you know, we just keep getting whacked with news about whether it's inflation or last week's job numbers when they came out, or you know, everybody's experiencing the labor market shortages and ultimately that non-skilled labor inflation that we've seen. You know, the rates that we're having to pay to get people, and I hate to refer to it, but that's what the industry rags refer to it as non-skilled labor. So it's non-college educated labor, but we're very skilled labor, whether it's on our maintenance teams, our you know, service teams, or whether it's in our offices. So it's not really about that. It's about the fact that, you know, wages are adjusting in a big way. And I know you've had a couple of shows recently, Paul, about that. And all of this stuff combined together, it really is leading to an impending value crisis in our business. And, you know, I don't know if we're coining that term, the impending multifamily value crisis, but, you know, this is a road we've been down before and we don't want to go down it again.
Yeah. And Taylor, I mean, you, I've been in the industry for over 20 years, servicing multifamily assets across the country. Is what we're seeing, do you think, somewhat cyclical, or is it different than what we've seen before?
You know, that's a good question, Paul. You know, as every sort of cycle feels, it feels new and fresh, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, everything seems like it's, well, it's not exactly like sort of the last cycle that we saw. You know, I would say that the way that we operate our business is this is absolutely playing into the typical cycle for us, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and we'll get into a little detail as to kind of why we set up our business the way that we do, but we set, you know, the way we finance and how much debt we take on and all of that is absolutely because of the nature or the cycle of the apartment industry, because we know there's a time and a place where our money becomes very valuable to owners. Mm-hmm. Not today, but so to answer your question, I think it's a little unique in that I think that the federal government sort of played all the trump cards that they have available to themselves, so I'm not so sure how we get out of our own way in this case, but you know, but I do think it's kind of a typical cycle.
Yeah, and Rich, what are you saying?
I think Taylor's absolutely right. It's interesting. We are in a unique place, and we always feel that way, but this one is different in a lot of respects. Number one, we're coming off the heels of the pandemic. To go back to something that Taylor mentioned, and that's something I learned in that conversation with you guys. I learned a little bit more about Taylor's history going beyond those 20 years servicing our industry, and really his understanding of the capital markets and understanding of the way our money system works, which I think we don't understand enough in our business, because we're investment managers and we need to understand how money works. And traditionally, what has sent our industry into the peaks and valleys that we've been in, it really is all predicated upon the basic issue of supply and demand. And now we're seeing the demand cycle is revving up, and the supply cycle, we've been revving it up, but things are changing. You know, historically that was always evened out by, you know, then there was a mass movement into single family homes. We're not seeing that. You know, the crisis of 08, really I call it the credit crisis of 08, not the housing crisis, but that crisis changed the landscape. It changed the playing field. And now we are back into layer onto that, you know, a year and a half, maybe 2 years of, you know, pandemic that have changed things. And going back to what Taylor said, the Fed's got, you know, they've got all their levers pushed to the max. So they don't really have an ability to react to, you know, in any crisis that may come our way. So we'll see where things go. And I think that's what we're going to do, is we're going to continue the conversation that we had over cocktails of speculating where we're going to go with that.
Yeah, and we've got about 3 minutes left in this segment, Rich. Where did we leave off? Where are we going to go now?
Well, I think that I had learned about Taylor's history and past, and I learned about that because, you know, as I walked the trade show floor this year, and as I met with our partners like Taylor and you and many, many others out there, I was asking them different questions than everybody else was. And one of the questions I was asking is, and I was trying to ascertain, which of these partners that I've been aligned with for years are doing the right things today? And so I asked Taylor some pretty, Taylor, you can clarify this, but some pretty personal questions, because I went straight to the punch. You know, we hadn't been sitting there for 2 minutes, and I was asking, where are you getting your money? You know, what kind of debt are you carrying? And all of these from a customer, you know, maybe prodding and probing questions, but really it's not a customer. He's, you know, Taylor's my partner, and I want to know that he's playing on the right ball field, because right now there are a lot of people that are addicted to debt because the capital markets are cheap, and man, that is not it's not fun to detox from debt when the market says you have to.
Yeah, and we've got about a minute and a half left of this segment. Taylor, I'm just curious, do you get those type of questions from your clients often, or is that something that you were kind of surprised to be asked?
Well, I do, but I wanted to back up a second. Sure. And kind of piggyback on something that Rich said about apartmentalize and the uniqueness of this year versus previous years. Mm-hmm. I think previous years I go and our team goes and we sort of anticipate, you know, meeting new customers or sort of, you know, entertaining our current customers. And I think this year what it was more about was really getting to know our partners better. I mean, I think as I walked away from the conference, I really felt like, and as I was talking to Keith, my business partner, you know, the real value of that 3-day conference was I got to know our partners so much better. And I don't know if that's because, you know, just for whatever reason, you know, our customer base wasn't active at that conference or whatever. But anyway, so that was really the super valuable part of the conference. So anyway, but to answer your question, I do think our customers do ask us all the time, you know, where do we get our money from? You know, how does it work? You know, because, you know, the nature of our business is we make the investment on the front end and we recoup that investment over time. And of course, they want to know that, you know, we'll still be there over time, right? Because that's part of the deal. So I do get that question a lot for sure.
All right. Well, we're gonna have to break it here. We're going to be back after this short break. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Multifamily properties water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Well, we're back and you're listening to Multifamily Matters. And today we're discussing something that is especially important and very timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is inflation, infrastructure, capital markets, and the impending multifamily value crisis. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran and a sought-after speaker and multifamily industry educator and consultant, Rich George, the COO of NOI Coach and the owner of Blue Door Apartments. Also in the studio with me is Taylor Leach, president and co-founder of eConserve, Multifamily Water Conservation Solutions. I do want to let our listeners know if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Rich, you kind of alluded to it in the last segment, but there is a current employee crisis in the multifamily industry. Let's talk a little bit about that. What are you seeing?
You know, everything that I'm seeing is anecdotal. It's through my clients and friends and the conversations that I had with many in Chicago. And I know you've had some recent calls, you know, or on your show, you've had Stephanie and Kara, Stephanie Anderson, Kara Rice, I think on two different shows. And I know that they've got some great data from Swift Money as well as Grace Hill. They've got great data on what is happening with people. And, you know, we've always been a pretty transient industry. And, you know, but I think that, it's amping up right now because people are realizing that the wages in our industry are going through, I think, a big reset. And a lot of people are realizing that they're changing jobs and they're able to really reset wages because it's, you know, they don't have to renegotiate. They are new negotiations. But, you know, I think that this pandemic was the trigger to that. I know Swift Money, I can't remember the exact numbers, but, you know, something like on average when they ask people, are you planning on changing jobs in the next 12 to 18 months? If I recall correctly, it was usually about a third, and it's well over half now that are considering that or saying that they're going to be doing that. So that's bad news for us. I'd say that is an employment crisis. And for those of those listeners that you have that, you know, probably every one of them is in the process right now trying to hire somebody specifically on the service or the maintenance side of our business. And they're just finding no luck. And they just, you know, they're watching wages creep and creep and creep and creep, you know. So I think that Taylor's probably got some great information here going back to his time in the financial markets. I think that, you know, wages are always a big factor when it comes to the success of a business. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, sure. We're absolutely seeing, you know, pressure on for us to increase wages to our employee base. You know, what's interesting, at least for us specifically, you know, being in the Houston market and hiring most of our employees in the Houston market, you know, we've always been a little vulnerable to the oil and gas industry, right? So when the oil and gas industry ramps up, we tend to lose employees because, you know, those are good jobs and they pay well and they tend to take our labor force. Now, so what that really required of us was to create our own training program internally, right? So if you're a brand new employee at Econserve, we can take a relatively unskilled employee, bring them in, start them off, train them through our program, and then, of course, you know, get them up to speed to be a productive employee of ours, and then, of course, put them in our programs and our payment programs. So that was required of us because of this pressure from the oil and gas industry. Now we're seeing it just simply, you know, market-wide, right, where all of our employees are, one, coming to us and anticipating, you know, a wage increase, and or leaving, you know, to go. Because as a matter of fact, Paul and I were taking a cab ride in Chicago and back from dinner, and we were talking about a guy, and he was, you know, looking for a job, and the cab driver piped up and said, if you can't find a job now, you're just not looking.
Yeah.
And we both laughed at that, and that is true. And he had even indicated that his former employer called him back and asked him to, you know, gave him a raise to come back. So at any rate, I think that's just sort of where we're at. Now, historically, when, you know, so back when I was in the commodity brokerage game, you know, we, of course, dealt with that internationally because we're an international importer, right? And so we sort of saw that, you know, show up in price of materials. You know, we were always sort of trying to balance that. But here domestically, this is probably the most pressure we've received to give all of our employees raises.
Yeah, and Rich, it's you had mentioned a show that I had done recently, an episode with Stephanie Anderson and Kara Rice, and then after that show, I did one with Adrian Danella and Gary Gregory, and then several weeks before that, I did one with Bill Nye, and all of them were talking about the crisis with employees, as well as where the concentration is on the maintenance personnel. And I don't remember exactly if it was Kara or Stephanie right now in that episode, but I think it was Kara that quoted some statistics about how the turnover rate in maintenance personnel is so much higher today than it's ever been. And It's not because their employees necessarily won't pay them a little bit more. It's also because they don't have to be on call over the weekend, or they get an opportunity to spend time with their families where they don't get to in multifamily. So, you know, those are some things that I think are going to be challenges for multifamily in the future, is how to work that out so that people can have a position in maintenance that's satisfying, does what it's supposed to do for the assets they're working on, but also gives them a life.
You know, we've always struggled as an industry when, you know, just the build-non-build cycles have come, you know, because our maintenance folks are wildly talented people. You know, they're not just rough carpenters. They're not just finished carpenters. They're not just plumbers. They're not just HVAC techs. They are, I mean, they just have all of those skills. Whereas if they go into a specific trade, they can use one of those skills. And oftentimes in a big cycle, when we're building and developing, they can go do that as a journeyman, or they can do that as simply a laborer and make more money than what we've historically paid. But you're right, Paul. We are, you know, we can just keep changing that number, but we have to look at quality of life, and we have to look at career pathing for our maintenance teams, because specifically for our service teams, because we've always had good pathing for the office and for the management teams. This coming from a guy who started as a groundskeeper and worked my way through maintenance before I went on to the management side. But, you know, the problem that we have is this, and I don't think it's going to get better. You know, a lot of people are like, ah, oh, this is temporary. This is going to change. It's going to reset. It's going to cycle. And then we're going to be back to stasis again. But, you know, just about the time that I think we would be finding stasis, because we've been seeing this upward pressure, this upward lift, and specifically on our service teams for a decade now. This is not new. It's really gotten crazy recently. But what's going to really make it crazy is, you know, in Washington, they're talking about passing over $5 billion worth of infrastructure money. And that money's going to be spent, and it's going to be spent with trades. And so talk about right now, you know, Taylor was talking about you guys have the oil and gas industry that you deal with there. I'm here in Detroit. We have the automotive industry. But big parts of the country, you don't have those major industries that move markets. But this infrastructure, you know, the spending that they will spend over the next 10 years, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm not making a political statement. I'm just saying the fact is, if there's $5 or $6 trillion floating out there, that's going to put pressure on everywhere in our country. And it's going to make this even more interesting to see what happens.
We've got about 2 minutes left in this segment. Let me ask you this, Rich. What are you either hearing, or how would you consult some of your multifamily clients on how to respond to this pressure of the disparage in wages?
You know, I think as an industry, we've been doing it right for the last couple of years. We're just not all there yet. And Taylor mentioned it. You know, you guys, he and his company, they bring in young, unskilled people, and they give them a skill, which I think that's critical. And that's something that our industry needs to show people. And we also need to show that career pathing does not end at being a maintenance supervisor or a regional director for a maintenance employee. You know, for me, it ended up with owning apartments and owning my own business and writing a couple of books. So there really was no cap. People need to see that possibility, because our industry really breeds fantastic business people is what we breed. We breed entrepreneurs in a way that no other industry can. And we do it while people are dealing with multi-million dollar assets. We're not talking about running a little franchise of a sub job. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, this is something that there's a serious skill here, and it's done in a serious market.
Yeah. Ted, we got 30 seconds left. What are your thoughts?
No, I totally agree. And I think that, and to sort of reiterate Rich's last point, you know, this is the engine, the motor behind the U.S. economy, this housing piece. And so it is critically important for us to get employees and get them trained and skilled so that this machine can keep going and keep our economy going. I mean, it is, you know, critically important, in my opinion.
All right. Well, we are going to take a break here. We are going to be back after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
We're back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing something that is important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic is inflation, infrastructure, capital markets, and the impending multifamily value crisis. I'm Paul Marks, and joining me by phone is a longtime multifamily industry veteran, a sought-after multifamily speaker, industry educator, and consultant, Rich George, the COO of NOI Coach and the owner of Blue Door Apartments. Also with me in the studio is Taylor Leach, president and co-founder of EconServe Multifamily Water Conservation Solutions. I want to take a moment to thank our sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire Rev today. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Rich, we've talked a lot about in the last segment about the employee crisis that is currently throughout the multifamily industry, but when you're talking about the overall elements of the economy, inflation, capital markets, and infrastructure, what are we seeing right now?
I think we are seeing something, and I don't throw this word around lightly because I think we hear it all the time on the news cycles, but we're in an unprecedented time. We're in a time where we don't know, we can't predict what's going to happen tomorrow based on what happened the last time we were here, because we've never been here. And the pandemic is a big piece of that, but on top of that, it has been the sustained low interest rates, which have in turn given us sustained low capitalization rates, which have given us supremely high values. So it's it's that old adage of, you know, if something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. That's where I'm feeling. Now, I have to say, though, Paul, and Taylor is going to probably call me on this one, because if you had heard me speak 7 years ago, I would have said, you know what, these low interest rates, that's not sustainable. And I would have said, oh, we're going to see interest rates going up in the next year or two. And mm-hmm. I've been saying that for 7 years. So I've been wrong, but you know, what goes up must come down. What goes down may or may not come back up. We'll figure that one out, right?
Right.
So. No, I mean, I we talked about that in Chicago, and we both sort of laughed. I mean, I think that the issue is you know, the scary part is it doesn't, these low interest rates don't feel real, right? They feel like they're being, you know, I mean, sort of suppressed. And so, you know, it's in the back. We're at that point where, okay, you know, when we look around, and like you said, you know, it feels like interest rates need to go up. They got to go up. I mean, I think at the end of the day, that just has to happen. I can't remember what was your, you gave me a prediction. I think we bet a steak dinner on it or something like that.
yeah.
4 years, if I recall.
I think I can't remember the exact words. We probably had a couple of cocktails by then.
Yeah.
But we were talking about the fact that we're going to find that there are many players in our space right now that have, they've taken the blue pill, and they suckered into this cheap leverage. But the problem is it's on timed money. You know, a lot of people, they weren't getting these sweet low interest rates on 30-year deals. They're getting them on 5-7-year expiring deals. And we saw what happened just a little over a decade ago when all of a sudden people did not have the NOIs to support, you know, refinancing their deals when the time came to be. And, you know, I would venture a guess that there's a significant portion of our friends out there, our investors and our owners in this space, that, you know, a 2-point cap rate change, you know, on a systemic basis will not afford them the ability to refinance their properties without coming to the table with cash. And debt is a dangerous thing. Debt, you know, everybody says, well, debt and leverage are two different things. But at the end of the day, leverage is still debt, mm-hmm. still money we have to pay. So I don't know. I worry about what's going to happen in the capital markets. I worry about, you know, when you combine that with what we talked about in the previous segment about the labor shortage, and then you combine it with the supply chain issues that we've seen that have just really, I mean, Taylor, I can't imagine that it's not had a dramatic impact on your business, even though you don't have a lot of chips in what you do. You know, you guys are still, many of your parts and things are analog, but between the labor shortage and just simply not being able to get materials, raw materials, it's got to be tough.
No, it is. And, you know, so in this scenario, a little, you know, as we kind of lay the scenario out, right, reminds me a little bit of 07-08, right, when we were getting into water conservation, and I sort of transitioned out of the commodity game and into water conservation, and we started to implement our deals. You know, we went to a bank and said, hey, would you be interested in financing this? And of course the absolute answer was no, we are not. As a matter of fact, we couldn't even get a $500 credit card. They were so uninterested in us financing anything. And so a friend of mine, we were at a baseball game or whatever, and he's like, you know, let me just tell you what a bank will do for you. He's like, when the sun is shining, they are happy to provide an umbrella for you. Mm-hmm. But when it starts to pour down, they will yank that umbrella so fast from you and just leave you out in the rain. And I thought, you know, I think that may be the case here. But, you know, as we sort of operated our business, we operated debt free, right? So we it was just by a prop, you know, there was no money offered to us in 08 for us to be able to finance this deal. So we just never did. And we just always invested our own money back and grew the business in a reasonable way that we could afford to do, which makes us very nimble, right? We can absolutely invest in any deal that we like, and it's our own risk. I think in this case, I kind of made some notes here. I thought, like, you know, so if you have a rising interest rate environment and you've got obviously inflation, wage inflation that's happening on the, at least in the short term. Okay, and then you've got your general material inflation, right? I mean, the cost of doing anything in the apartment business is about to get expensive. Mm-hmm. And I think if those deals, you know, as I've evaluated deals, and the pro formas are so lean with these compressed cap rates, and in the back of my mind, I'm saying, I don't know that we can do that work, you know, at that number any longer. And I think, you know, does this pro forma, at what point, you know, how much stress can it take? How much ability to stress the pro forma is there? And unfortunately, I think that a wise owner would be, you know, it would be smart to start really evaluating what their deal looks like at an 8 cap, right? At a 7 cap, when they have to go refinance in a few years and understand that maybe the value isn't there. How can I really start to lean up here and operate this deal so that it makes money?
Yeah. And Rich, I mean, you are the NOI coach. So, with what Taylor just said, I'm sure you agree, but what would you be consulting your clients to do?
It's exactly what Taylor said. You need to, even if you can, you need to buy at a 5 or 6 cap rate. You need to either be coming in with cash and skin in the game so that you can operate with an 8 cap principal. But I believe that, you know, where I think we're going to see the big change is we're going to see less speculation, because as things get leaner and things get tougher, you know, no longer are we going to have people who are going to go out and they're going to buy this deal and they're going to make assumptions that I can raise the rent $200 a month over the course of the next 24 months. They're going to be saying, I need to be more conservative in my performance. Those performance is really what gets us with these low interest rates right now, because we have to stretch those pro formas. You know, what do we, pro forma is Latin for according to form. we're saying this is what it is, but this is what in our world filled with rainbows and unicorns and puppy dogs licking ice cream cones, this is what we're going to make it be. And you're not going to do it just on rent. You have to find partners like eConserve. You have to find partners that are going to find you revenue streams that you've never seen or savings that you've never seen or a combination of both. That's where, you know, these things are going to get interesting. And Taylor said at the beginning of the show is, you know, the fact that we are well capitalized is not attractive right now because people can go get cheaper money than, you know, than that. All of a sudden, it's going to become very attractive. The people that have the money are going to become very attractive because all of these angel funds that are out there, all of these, I mean, the crowdsourcing, the syndicated deals are, it's going to get tough when people start slamming their wallets shut. And that's what's going to happen when things get a little shaky. You know, like to use Taylor's, you know, people snatch that umbrella from you when it's raining. So,
yeah. And Taylor, we got about a minute left. What type of comments do you get from your clients regarding where they're seeing things going right now?
You know, that's a good question, Paul. I don't know that our customers, our clients really comment so much on it. Mm-hmm. It's really up to us in our sort of underwriting process to determine whether or not a deal is creditworthy. And so, you know, we're having to sort of evaluate, okay, where is this asset? How does it sit, you know, occupancy wise? What is their deferred maintenance? You know, what's going on when we're evaluating whether or not we want to make our investment in water conservation? We have to take all of those things into consideration because, you know, we have a lot of new owners and they don't really communicate anything in terms of the industry back to me. So, you know, we have to sort of make all of that, you know, determination on our own, and yeah, which is fine.
Okay. Well, we're going to break it here. We're going to be back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Multifamily properties' water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. eConserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call eConserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing something that is important and timely to the multifamily industry. Our topic today is inflation, infrastructure, capital markets, and the impending multifamily value crisis. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is longtime multifamily industry veteran and sought-after speaker and multifamily industry educator and consultant, Rich George, the COO of NOI Coach and the owner of Blue Door Apartments. Also with me in the studio is Taylor Leach, president and co-founder of EconServe Multifamily Water Conservation Solutions. Rich, during the break, you had mentioned that the importance of stability by not being in debt. Why is that so important in multifamily?
Paul, earlier in the show, I think I referred to what many people refer to as the housing crisis of 08. Taylor had mentioned, how he had migrated through that period. And, that was a big impact event for our country. We saw, if you think about what led up to that, it goes back to, we're celebrating the 20th anniversary, not celebrating, we are acknowledging the 20th anniversary of September 11th. Which had come right on the heels of the dot-com bust. And things then all of a sudden got a little bit better. We were at war, but things in our economy were good for several years. And that's because, we had Greenspan as the Fed chair back then, and interest rates were trending in a really positive way. And it led to an event. And that event, when you really look at the dollars and cents of that event, and I call it the credit crisis because I think we're about to go into the credit crisis part two, by the way. And the reason I believe that we are is because I call it the credit crisis because, I remember when I was a kid, my dad getting his first credit card because it was uncommon to have a credit card back then. And it was just a Sears credit card, Sears and Roebuck at the time. And you would have thought that this man had arrived, because he could lay down this piece of plastic and he could buy something. And now we've got whole generations that have never known a world without credit. And when you think about that, I'm just barely old enough to remember my great-grandparents who were young adults during the Great Depression. But that event, it changed them for the rest of their lives. For the rest of their lives, they were suspect of banks. They kept their money in the mattress. They only bought what they could afford, and they always had reserve money. My father's generation is where credit started to creep in. My generation, my daughter's generation, ever since then, we've just become way too comfortable with credit. And we've lived a different life. And as a country, you also see what's happened to our debt. We are way too comfortable with credit. All that being said, I think that operators in our space, we've always had to use leverage. We've always had to use debt to buy properties, but we've always done it responsibly. And after 08, 09, 2010, 2011, when all of a sudden banks started talking to us again, they started acting more responsibly. They weren't doing these deals of 105% or 110% financing. They've been more responsible, and they've required us to come to the table with skin in the game. But the problem is they're allowing us to pay insane prices because cap rates are low. And so all of that combined, we have to worry about what's going to happen. I'd love to hear what Taylor's thoughts are on what I've just said, because I think that we had this major event that dollars-wise was bigger than the Great Depression, but it didn't impact us. You still on any given Friday night saw people lined up outside of the Outback to buy things. You still saw people rolling out of the Best Buy with big screen TVs, and all of those things were still on credit. So I don't think it changed us. So,
yeah.
Maybe we need a harder reset. What do you think, Taylor?
Well, I don't think that, the general public has an appetite for a hard reset for that like that. Certainly our politicians don't. But I do think that I would agree that we do have a debt crisis here in the United States. I think that on a positive note, I do think over this last cycle, we've had some really, really smart people come into our industry. I think that there has been some, a real migration of bright people. However, with those bright people, there also becomes a lot of creativity, right? And that creativity in the form of debt, right, can be risky. And so as it relates to EconServe, we were always very conservative in terms of, we have zero debt, but mainly because we wanted to be, like I said before, nimble and be able to do deals that we wanted to do because we liked them. And I think that will help us, grow into the future. I mean, I think we're set up to do really well over the next, decade because of it. However, I'm a little concerned that our customer base will have this huge reset like we did you know, in 08, where, you know, like you had mentioned, once there is no capital market for them to go and get refinance, you know, there's not a lot of options when that happens. And it's ugly.
You know, it's those smart people that you're talking about, Taylor, that brought us, you know, the CDOs, the collateralized debt obligations, and decided to package mortgages and sell them on Wall Street, right? I mean, it's creative. It accomplishes, but what is sustainable? What is, you know, and that's where you have to step back to the fundamentals, just like the conversation that we had, saying, you know, even when we went to the banks, they said no. Now the banks are tripping over to give us money, but we say no because debt is never going to be a good thing. It's never going to be a good thing. You can't frame it in any way. Leverage can be framed in a good way, but even that, there's got to be way too many tales of caution for people to be successful with it.
And I think the unfortunate piece to this is the way, you know, and I hate to be a little doomsday-ish, but, you know, the way the deals are bought today with the GPLP set up and people are putting in their 401k money and that sort of thing. I mean, I think people have invested in our industry money they can't afford to lose, and I'm sure that's always the case, and maybe I'm naive to think that isn't always the case, but you know, it could be painful. And so I guess as I sit here today and as I look at the industry, I think there will be opportunity, and there will be an opportunity for another generation to come in and make money doing what we do. But I think as we sit today, people need to really be evaluating how they are going, what they're going to do to be competitive in a rising cap rate environment at flat rent. At least for a while.
And you bring up the flat rent piece. I think that, sorry, Paul, we've just had you out of the conversation here. Feel free to stop us if you want. But that flat rent that you're talking about, I think that that's what's going to be the smack in the face, because I think there's a lot of investors, and all of my clients, my investor clients, I say to them, you really have to look at what has your rent growth been for the last 10 years and look at what it's done specifically in the last 3 years. I mean, we've just gone like on steroids. And we have to remember that, because as inflation kicks in and it starts to impact us, the supply chain, our contractors, our vendors, our employees are all costing us more money. And that's traditionally when we would turn around and say, well, we've got to pass that off to the renter. Well, we kind of passed it off before that inflation started to hit us. And it's going to continue to hit us. So, you know, you can't say, you know, we're going to get 13% rent growth year over year and then claim pauper when your wages go up 6%.
Well, Rich,
you see where I'm going with that?
Let me ask you a question, and I'm going to put you on the spot because I don't know if you know the answer, and I don't. But what is the average rate increase, you know, like industry-wide, you know, year over year over year? What can people generally get in terms of, you know, a rent increase?
Well, if you look at the NAA's income and expense survey, it's been north of 5% for the last 5-6 years. It decreased in 08, starting in 07, it started to decrease or flatten out. It remained flat until about 2011, 2012. We started to see single digit, you know, the low 1 to 5% increases. And then we've seen, I just read a report about the 15 markets in the U.S. that saw double digit or greater growth. Not in a year, in a quarter. So,
wow.
You know, that's where, you know, again, I don't want to badmouth my clients, because you know what? It's a capital market. It's a capitalistic market. Get what you can get while you can get it. But also remember that you got it, because, you know, as rents reset and as we start to find rescission in those rents, we're going to have to be prepared to ride it out. And the only way we can be prepared is if we did not go out when that money was going up saying, hey, let's treat our properties like little ATM machines and pull cash out of them. And then not understand how we're not going to be able to pay the mortgage as rents go down. So I think that's the smart play. There are a lot of people, like you said, there's a lot of new people in our space, and there's a lot of older people in our space. The older people in our space, they've been through these cycles before, and they understand that they have to remain conservative. The newer people in our space, and unfortunately, there are a lot of investors that are coming in through different funds and don't even really know what they're investing in. And they've turned real estate into a passive investment, which it's just simply not. This is never going to be a passive investment. And as property managers, we understand that.
Well, we've going to transition right now because we only got a couple of minutes left, and I want to give each of you a chance to talk a little bit about what you're doing now, how people can reach you if they've got some questions. We could talk about this topic for another two or three segments, but let me start with you, Rich. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing now and how someone can reach you.
All right. Well, the folks that don't know me, I go by the moniker NOI Coach for Net Operating Income. I have been in and around our industry for a very long time, over 30 years. I love what I do. I live in Michigan. I own apartments. I've written a couple of books that are about leadership and hiring. Hire the Best, Ditch the Rest is one of them. My website is noicoach.com, but really it's my mission in life to have conversations just like this and to get our property managers, the people that grew up in our business, because I spent a lot of years being successful in spite of what I knew. Because I didn't know enough to be successful being an investment manager. And, you know, I now, my mission in life is to educate and inspire thought in our young property managers that are out there. And through education, through the National Apartment Association, I'm a senior faculty member, help write their designation programming. And I want our industry to go back to that labor crisis that we were talking about before. I want us to be perceived not only as an industry that pays well, but an industry that provides nothing but opportunity. And I partner with apartment associations all across the country, including HAA right there in Houston, helping people learn that.
Yeah, fantastic. Tanner, take a minute or so and tell us a little bit about EconServe and how to reach you.
Sure. We're based here in Houston. EconServe does water conservation for apartment communities. And we do start everything out with a free analysis, tell you a little bit about your water consumption and whether or not, you know, the property would benefit from a conservation plan. Do it all over the country. You can contact us. Go to our website is econservellc.com. Enter your information. It would get right back to you.
All right. Fantastic. Well, it's been great having you both on. We are going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.